This is Homefront South Dakota. Could you just give me your name, age, and where you're from?
I'm Henry Kozlowski, and I'm 81 years old. I'm from Webster, South Dakota, born there. Lived there till I was 18 years old. Then I got drafted into the Army, spent 33 months in the service. From there, I come back home and farmed with my dad. Got married when I was 31, and then went out on my own farming. And my wife died after 7 years of marriage. She had a brain tumor. And I had five kids. And now I'm living at the soldier's home here in Hot Springs and really like it. I feel good about being here. I'm lucky to be here. And my highlight of the whole thing was when we found out that we were loaded for bear to attack Tokyo. And then they announced on the loudspeaker that the war was over there. So. And MacArthur was over there happy to be when them Japs signed off to us. We just went down and got drunk. Green Bell beer.
Tell me, what year was it when you were drafted?
Oh, 1944. And I got out in 1947, May.
Tell me about your experience in Japan. You were starting to talk about that. Going to Tokyo and then Yokohama.
Well, yeah, we marched through. I mean, I got crippled up in Luzon, so they gave me a jeep to drive, and I was fortunate enough to be able to drive a colonel around. We went to different places where there was airports and to distribute all the Americans somewhere, so they'd have cooking facilities, and they had sacks of bombs out in the trees that the Japs did, and we took. Platoons up in there, just squads, and they camped out there. We hauled them one meal a day, whoever was out there. Took care of mostly the prisoners, the American prisoners. They were really sick. And what surprised me is that Japs would only eat about 6 ounces of rice a day, and that's all they give the Americans. And they were starved of bone, and that's it. Couldn't walk, sick, so they just survived. And we got them back on a ship. We got the best care that could be. We were pretty happy about that. And we were eating D-bars and had our own K and C rations, and dried eggs and probably kangaroo meat and old sheep from Australia. We got a lot of meat from that. Finally, I didn't like it too well, so I re-enlisted for a year to go to Europe. But instead they sent me home on account of my injury. So I was an honor guard in Fort Snelling for 6 months. From there they sent me to California, took a training for Engineer Special Brigade. That was building bridges and tearing them down, do it up. And from there I got discharged out of Port Ord, California.
What was your injury and how did you get it?
I got it. We were being shelled and I lose on and something banged me here from the side like this and knocked me down. And anyway, they said they pulled me out of some mud and a tree was laying on top of me. But it was either a big rock come off a hill or something in there and it hit me from the side and knocked me down, and that's where I laid. A lucky thing, I don't know, but they said they pulled me out of the mud. I was knocked out for about 2 weeks, they said. Didn't think I'd make it. I come out of it. The leg wasn't feeling too bad, but for 30 years, a matter of fact, I had it replaced in 1989. So my older brother, he was in Europe, and my younger brother was in Korea, and I was in the South Pacific. We did our share, I think.
Describe what it was like being in Japan when you found out the war was over.
Well, we was all on a ship. We couldn't do too much celebrating. And they didn't have too much beer there. They just sit down the hole doing. But it was really nice. I mean, we hooped and hollered and sang religious songs. Believe it or not. Them Southern guys could sing, and I joined in with them. Just as happy as it could be. So then they took us. We got down on little boats and took us to shore. We was pretty well ready just in case something happened there. But there was a big airport there, and we all got in there, and then we separated us, and the guys who was there the longest went to different places, and And I was there about 2 weeks, and a 97 division come there and took over the 43rd, and the 43rd went home, and they didn't care if I wanted to go with the 97th or go home. So I just re-enlisted to go to Europe to get a Ruger pistol, but they didn't send me there. They thought I was too crippled up to go too much service anymore.
When you got onto the land at Japan, where were you? In what part of Japan was it?
Right in Yokohama. Yokohama is right off the shore there. Yokohama was.
What did you see when you got to
Well,
shore?
it's just like any place else. It's the airport and burned out buildings, and that was it. Tokyo was nothing there but glades and just nothing. No people even you didn't see. It just wasn't. I thought to myself, what did these guys start a war for? And yeah, there was nothing there. And just I drove this colonel around through there. We went, and the other guys marched behind, and we went in certain places. And somehow we got some sweet potatoes and some rice, and we had a heck of a meal there. And then they brought a lot of food off the ships, because there was a 110 ship convoy that we were gonna really go in there and get him, whoever it was. And they were surrendered just like that. And we were all very happy about it. We had our old trusty M1 rifle loaded for bear.
But you still wanted to go to Europe after that, and
Yeah,
after
I
that.
was going to go to Europe to get my Ruger rifle, because the war was over there. So I thought they'd just send me there to, do something, be a policeman. I could be an MP, But I didn't think I could. There was too much movement for me, and I was limping quite a heavily. And so they thought, well, so then I was just an honor guard, and I didn't mind that. I just sit around and wait. They send all the American dead soldiers from Europe, and we were burying five in a grave in Fort Snelling. Every day, bunch would come in. Sometimes they could know the parents, and sometimes nobody there. They just buried them and knew their name and everything. And
How did you feel doing that?
it's a funny feeling. I prayed a lot. I felt sorry for the people, especially some of them that had a family, like a wife would come there and her husband was killed, and I felt sorry for them. So there was a lot of them. Oh boy.
You were at a prison camp in
That,
Osaka.
yeah, well, it was just a barbed wire fence and high and then rotten buildings. They wasn't worth 2 cents living in. They couldn't live in there. But the poor Americans was in there. What I remember, there was about 300 left in there when we got them out of there. And they were sure happy. And all they had was on their shorts, and it was wintertime. Very few, no clothing that was fit to wear.
So you helped liberate that,
And we
those
kind of
prisoners.
helped, yeah, and we did. Initially, the Marines just about was helping us a lot too. On Luzon, the Marines really helped the 43rd Infantry Division out there real well. They were stationed at Subic Bay, the Marines were, and we was just on the outside of it.
At the time, how did you feel about the enemy that you were fighting?
Well, I felt like pretty mad, especially when they treated those guys like that they did. You see them and you kill them. People don't tell you what you expect. You just go in there, you have your training. That was jungle warfare, a lot of hand-to-hand combat. You either bayonet him or he bayonets you, or rip the guts out of a guy, you feel pretty sick. Pretty soon you're going along crying and tears in your eye and doing the same thing over and over and scared, afraid somebody would shoot you from behind. So that's what I liked about when they brought the flamethrowers in. We'd send out a couple of guys out to traverse and search the area, and then they'd call you back and tell you where they are. And they had the big bunkers there. Take that flamethrower. The guy would get up there with that flamethrower and burn them out of there. Get rid of a lot of them that way.
And
So,
that was better because then you didn't have to
oh
deal
yeah,
with
then get beating them out hand to hand or shooting them. You didn't know how many times, how many was in that. The bunkers was as big as this building, just about. They had dug out in the hall and walls. I just put that flamethrower in that hole and let her go. That was the best thing I ever saw. And they put us on that ship, and there was a 110 ship convoy going to Yokohama. And we had Marines and infantrymen and other high-tech guys there. We were going to attack Tokyo, but there was nothing there. And Yokohama was nothing. They had our prisoners down in Osaka. That's all we went down there and helped liberate some of them and got them to pour. Well, they was all sick. Just took them all to our ships, and different hospital ships. There was really all medics and stuff, good food and stuff like that. Those guys, we had to eat K ration and C ration and D bars, but we got along. And when I reassigned, when they put me on a ship, when I went come to Fort Lewis, Washington, a guy got washed overboard. We cruised around 3 days for him, but the waves were just as tall as some of these buildings, and one wave was sweeping miles away, but they had to do that. And then we had a services up there on a ship, and it should only take 10 days from Yokohama to Fort Lewis, and took us 14 days. But then when I got into Fort Lewis, Washington, I ate 2 dozen eggs for breakfast. I had a cook from Minnesota, LeFleur's name was. He had a grill like that, and I'd take four and ate them, come back four, and I ate 24 of them. They were so
You must have been really hungry.
good. Yeah, well, I just, when I got on them ships, they wasn't too bad of food. The first breakfast I ate, it was kind of scary. It was molasses, beans, and black coffee. That was for breakfast. And I thought, uh-oh. But they improved all the time. It was pretty quiet going overseas. It's just 22 knots an hour. But never been quiet. And during the night, all the lights out, all the fans out. They claimed that the subs could hear us going. And we were locked down in our little 48 men in there, sweating, wringing wet. Just slept on a canvas that was just put across two, three bars like that. And there was six of us up and down around the whole thing. And got up in the morning and went to a bathroom there. That was wide open spaces there. Big old trough, and that was it.
After the war was over, was it possible to put those experiences behind you?
Well, it wasn't easy. I went into drinking pretty heavy, I guess. I finally got married and got over it, and things started going really good for me. And I got good treatment from the VA, just taking care of that. And
How did you get over that, those experiences? Did you?
well, it wasn't easy. I don't know. I just got involved with my kids, and after they were born, and had to kind of watch them mostly. I had a lot of hired help, and then I was always wondering how I could make it by myself. And I lucked out. I sold out. I was farming pretty big, and a guy come and give me a offer of a job to manage a feedlot, and he said he'd keep me, furnish me a housekeeper and house and everything else. And I took it on, and I lived there for 13 years. Got over it, things.
I guess my last question is, what do you think we need to remember about World War II?
Well, I don't know. I always think they treated us like dogs, you know. You go here, you go there, you know, and scream and yell at you. And it was for your own good, I guess. And when I got on that ship, there was a movie star singing, "You're heading toward the last roundup." All of us start singing the same thing, you know. I mean, we never mentioned that, not to nobody. We just took our training on the ship. We did our calisthenics, and we knew we were gonna meet something there. They didn't show us no movies of what's happening, or when they did show us movies about what diseases we could gather there if we didn't take the medication, or that's what they showed us that, you know. And there, but as far as who were going to confront us there, we didn't. We just got out there, and there was maybe a sergeant or two there take over 12 men, and then first lieutenant and second lieutenant, and they gave us a talking to. Now this is what we got to do. We're going to go into these, try to find a bunker or find some stray Jap in there, and you know what to do with them. That's all they say. See where that was, that was it. And you know, you shoot at most anything, and you're there scared. A lot of Carabao got killed that way. But other than that, they'd skin them, them people there, them Filipinos, and eat them. Get mad, but of course, but it wasn't too bad of meat. So that's all the meat we got, except what we got from kangaroo out of Australia and New Zealand. Yeah, they can't take you by the nose and lead you in. They said, you're going in there by yourself. And they said, don't shoot your men, your own buddies. Well, we kind of knew where we was. You know, camouflage. And when the Japs come out of the trees, before they got stabilized to do something, we had them killed. Bayoneted them right there. I wish I'd have killed more, but I saw the American prisoners there. I don't see how they lived through all of that. They're just not skin and bone. Terrible. I mean, them guys, well, I imagine most of them are dead now, but man, their recuperation must have been hell for them. Now we're so happy with the Japs. We got them playing baseball and everything. Well, it wasn't these guys' fault. This crazy thing happened.
How do you feel about the Japanese now?
I still got a chip on my shoulder for that, the way they did. But these guys here, they're playing ball, and they're human, what you might say. And I ain't got nothing against them no more. I just might as well be their friend, as long as they are. And he's been holding a grudge now at these guys. These guys wasn't even born, you know. A lot of them. The past, they've got to keep forgetting about it. I don't drink anymore. I have a drink of wine once in a while, but that's about it. I'm eating good and sleeping pretty good there. It's a nice home here. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else, I don't think, the way things are.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you're welcome.
I really appreciate it.